Good morning. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, this month we're celebrating one of our values, the value of grace. That's grace. You know, and if you think about it, that's the core of this whole series. Really could be traced back to that single word, grace. You know, allowing God to take those parts of our lives that are broken and that are oftentimes quite a mess, and that we often consider to be worthless and no good, but allowing God to take those parts and to turn them into something beautiful, something useful. And, you know, if you've been with us, we've been exploring all kinds of different areas of our lives that we often need repurposed. You know, if you've been with us, you know we've talked about everything from repurposing our dreams, repurposing our self-image, what we see when we look into that mirror. And we've talked about repurposing areas of our lives like the types of questions we ask. We got real practical too with some of these, didn't we? Repurposing our money, repurposing our parenting, repurposing our pain, our failure. Well, today what I want to do is I want to explore another area that I think a lot of us probably need some repurposing in. I want to talk today about our words. Our words. Say that. Words. Now, of course, we all know that words are a pretty big part of our lives, right? I mean, it's through words that we as humans, we communicate, we express to other people what's going on in here, what's going on in here. You know, words are important. They're necessary. We need words. You know, and of course, not only are words necessary, but one other thing we all know about words is that words are very, very powerful, aren't they? Oh yeah, words are powerful. You know, we know that. We've experienced that. They're powerful. Well, in many ways, it's summed up well in this quote. Someone once said, "Words can light fires in the minds of men. Words can wring tears from the hardest hearts." And every once in a while, I think we feel that. We experience that, you know, that magic or that, whatever you want to call it, that power, you know, that comes to us through the words of you know, a poet, a writer, a songwriter, you know. Or sometimes it's very simply through the words of those people in our lives who love us and who we love. We feel the power of those words. But, you know, the thing about words is not only are words powerful in the sense that they can bring goodness and beauty into our lives. But the other thing we know about words is words can also bring quite a bit of hurt and pain into our lives. You know, we can all look back and we can think of times or moments in our lives when we felt hurt through the words that someone spoke to us or the words that someone spoke about us, right? Some of you, that was your childhood, man. You grew up in an environment. Some of you, as a marriage you were in, was very just verbally abusive, right? And so your mind, I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your mind goes back to those moments where there was perhaps insult or whatever it might be. You know, I guess the bottom line is this: is words. On one hand, words can be a huge help and can be a huge blessing to us, but words can also be quite painful. I think the writer of Proverbs summed it up in this very simple passage that goes like this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So this past week, as I was thinking about this talk and about our words, I found myself drawn back to this one passage of Scripture in particular that, I don't know, I've probably read it, 100 times or so, and if you've been around the Bible for any length of time, you've probably read this passage as well. But it's one that is found in the book of James. Now, if you don't know about the book of James, James is a book in the New Testament that was written by, can anyone guess who wrote James? Very good, James. Yes, it's a good guess, right? James, right. Now, James was the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine that? I mean, the pressure, for God's sake, right? I mean, you know, mom's constantly, James, Jim, Jimmy, why can't you be more like Jesus, right? Yeah, no pressure or anything, right? But anyway, so James, he's a half-brother of Jesus, and It's a great book. It's about 5 chapters long. I would encourage you to read it if you've never read it before. If you have, read it again. But if you do read it, one of the things you'll notice is that James spends an awful lot of time talking about this exact topic, talking about our words, what we say. In fact, you don't even get through like the first 20 verses of chapter 1 before running into one of those moments where James talks about this. And so I want to show you this passage. I'm going to put it up, and I actually want us to read it together because what it is here is a very simple but I think very profound idea about our words. All right, James chapter 1, verse 19. Let's read it together. Go. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. James says, all right, we need to be quick to listen, and we need to be slow to speak. Now, why would James say that? Well, I'll tell you why James would say that. We all know why James would say that, because the fact is, and we all know this to be true, right? On a very basic level, we all get the fact that most of us, we do a much better job at talking than we do at listening, right? I mean, for most of us, we get it. We understand that, right? If you think about what gets most people in trouble is what? It's their words. They talk too much, talk too quickly, right? I mean, I've never had a husband come in to see me before and say something like, you know, Scott, I'm in deep, deep trouble. My wife has left me because she says that I just listen way too well. And she's tired of it. She's so tired of me listening to her. No, never. Listen, most of us are very quick to speak, right? And that's true when it comes to conversations we have with people in our lives, our husbands, our wives, our friends, our coworkers, whoever it might be. But most of us, it happens in our conversations. But it's also true when it comes to the conversations we have internally with ourselves. Right? I mean, think about it. The conversations we have with ourselves, are about the situation we're dealing with, about our suffering, about our challenges, about what? Anything that we don't totally understand. I mean, think about it. Something happens, disrupts our day, disrupts our week, disrupts our life, whatever it might be. And most of us do what? Well, we immediately attach words to it, don't we? We attach words to it. We analyze it. We complain about it. We judge it. We label it. Just like that. We're so quick. Someone cuts us off in traffic. What do? We label them. What a jerk! Oh, gosh. What an idiot, right? Situation happens. We don't understand it. We do the same thing. Something happens in our lives. We immediately judge it. Well, and what do we say? Well, this sucks. Oh, this is stupid. This is awful. Well, I know what this means. Right? And we get a report, maybe from the doctor. We hear something on the news. We're so quick to jump to conclusions. Now, I've had the privilege of visiting a lot of cities. I'm a city guy. I love cities, you know. And if you've ever spent time around cities, no matter where you are, I think in the whole world, in every city, you'll always run across this one person who's kind of walking around incessantly muttering and talking to themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they're just like kind of wandering around, and they're like speaking like I'm speaking now, and you're kind of like, what, that's kind of weird. I'm going to kind of move over here so that they don't say, well, I don't know what they're saying, but I don't want them to say it to me, right? Well, but here's the thing. So you see that everywhere. Here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, that's not really that much different from what all of us do all the time, except we just don't always do it out loud, right? We do the same thing internally, incessantly talking and speaking and labeling and very quick to speak about our situations, very quick to speak about people or towards people, and often very slow at getting quiet and listening. And yet, here's the thing, when we actually do slow down, and when we actually do get quiet, and we actually do listen, you know what eventually starts happening? Is we start finding ourselves moving more and more and more into a place of compassion and empathy and understanding and ultimately love. See, I think this is a huge part of the reason when you read in the scriptures, you constantly hear this phrase that Jesus, he was constantly moved with compassion, right? He was constantly moved by compassion. Well, why is that? Well, because just like Jesus had this very contemplative, prayer life with his Father, and he was very intentional, right, that of getting away, being still, being silent, listening, right? Well, just like he had this contemplative prayer life with his Father, Jesus also had a very contemplative posture and presence with people. Right? And because of that, I mean, it was because of that that he had this ability. He could be present with people, and it moved him to have compassion and to love. See, I think for most of us, we're missing that, man. We're oftentimes missing getting to that place of compassion and empathy and love because instead of being quick to just listen and observe and to just be quiet, which will lead us to understanding, instead we're very quick to speak. We're very quick, very, very quick to judge, to label, to analyze, to speculate, to decide, to conclude, to comment, to compare, to complain, to like or dislike. We're so quick at doing that. And see, I think for a lot of us, it's like when we're around certain kinds of people that just sort of trigger us, right? We're just around certain types of people that we're uncomfortable around. You know, maybe they're different than who we're used to being around. Like, for some people, it's different for all of us. For some people, it's political, right? That's the big thing, like politics. And it's like someone says something that doesn't align with your particular political belief. Well, what happens? Well, instead of slowing down and listening and getting quiet, what happens? We immediately jump into speaking mode and defensiveness mode and judgment mode and labeling mode. Right? For some of us, it's politics. For others of us, it's when someone rubs us the wrong way when it comes to maybe religion or when it comes to morality. Maybe they hold to a different set of morals than you, and it just triggers you, man. And what happens is you find yourself in those moments barely able to sit still. And they're talking, and on the inside, you're just, right? And it's like they're treading on some topic or issue, right, that you don't understand or you don't agree with. And before that person even finishes what they're saying, but before you've even taken the time to truly hear them or to understand their story or why, understand why they believe what they believe or why they behave, we've already told ourselves a story, right? We've already judged. We've already got our words and our defense ready to go. We've already drawn our conclusions. And see, the problem with that is the moment you judge someone is the moment you stop understanding them. The moment you judge someone is the moment you stop understanding them. Listen, and then what happens is we find ourselves, when we start getting into this place of judgment, what happens then is we get into this like us versus them mentality, don't we? Right? We get into this mentality that in some ways, we just don't like to use this word, but we so easily dehumanize people, right? We place them at a different level than us, and usually we're the ones that are a little bit higher up than them, right? It becomes this us against them. I'm right, they're wrong. I'm found, they're lost, I'm in, they're out, I'm wise, they're foolish, right? We do this, we do it with people, we do it, you know what else we do? We do it with situations that are happening in our lives all the time. But even then, the same thing is true. Here's the thing, listen, the moment you judge and decide what a situation is or isn't is the moment that you have stopped understanding. See, we get to that place so quickly. I mean, how many times have you experienced something in your life, and in the moment, you were very certain that this was bad, evil? Could it be Satan, right? Very quick, but then later you look back, and you go, oh my gosh, that was actually the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I see, we're so quick to jump to conclusions. See, I think what James is giving us here in this passage is so much more than like an Anthony Robbins motivational seminar. You know, this is so much more than just like how to be polite so that people will like you more. Okay, this is, no, listen. Essentially, what it seems like James is reminding us of here is that being quick to listen will almost always take you one direction, and being quick to speak will almost always take you another direction. See, there's a reason that James, he follows this up with what? Let's look at the passage again. He says, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and what are those words right there? Slow to get angry. Get angry. Now, why in the heck did he use the word angry? I have no idea. I wasn't there. I mean, you know, it's probably the word that popped in his mind as he was writing this, right? Or maybe he was thinking of a certain situation, or, you know, I don't know why, but he could have probably used any number of words, or he could have probably said afraid or anxious or jealous, okay, whatever. It really doesn't matter. The point being is that being quick to speak and being slow to listen will almost always take you into the part of your life that craves power, that craves being in the know, that craves being better than and smarter than and all the other things that are ego or are, you know, flesh, whatever you want to call it, our shadow, our false self, our small self, whatever you want to call it, so easily and naturally gravitates towards. That's why if you continue reading in James, he's in chapter 3, he starts to show, like, this is what it looks like. It really will kind of mess your life up, you know? He starts talking about things like gossiping and lying and criticizing and complaining. He even tells us in chapter 3, verse 6, he says, the tongue is capable of corrupting the whole body. That's true individually, but that's true in churches. Like, the church is called Body of Christ. That's true in churches too, right? Man, gossip and negative words, right? And he even goes on to say this. He says it's through our words, it's through our speech that we can ruin the world, that we can turn harmony into chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke right along with it. See, when you take a step back from this, and when you really take a deeper look at this, I'll tell you what, this week when I read this, I saw it differently than I've ever seen it. See, that's how the scriptures are, isn't it? The scriptures, the words in the Bible, they're the same. They don't magically change, but our understanding of what the Bible says changes, doesn't it? Our understanding of who God is and our understanding of what the scriptures say constantly changes and shifts, and it enlarges. Like, we get below that, just that literal meaning, and we start to see things that are really deep and powerful. But as I read this week, it was like, man, you know, it's almost as if James is saying, look, listen. Slow down. Slow down. Stop moving so quickly into labeling and speaking and judging and all these things, because all that will do is it'll strengthen the wrong part of you. All right, and all it'll do is lead you into anger and fear and all these other things that when you live strictly out of ego and strictly out of these places of life, it'll just lead you into it's going to be no good. And instead, just learn to slow down. Just slow down. Listen. Sit. Just be. Be aware. Right? Be present. Be more of an observer than an obsessive reactor, right? Be more in a place of awareness than analyzing. Two very different things. Spend more time being aware than analyzing every single situation and every conversation and everything that happens in your life. Stop. Just be still. because it's in being still and it's in listening that we connect with the Spirit, and the Spirit will begin to move us into a place of seeing and understanding and compassion. See, it's there where our perspectives begin to change, not because you're trying so hard, but just because you're being willing to just listen and let the Spirit move. Man, and that's when you begin to see yourself differently. The way you see other people, you see them differently. The way you see your situations, you begin to see God in ways that you've never seen him before. See, I've always wondered how it was possible that Jesus, and if you know the story, like there's that moment when Jesus is on the cross, dying, and he looks down at those who are crucifying him, and he says to them, or he says to his Father in heaven, he prays for them, and he says this, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're asleep. They're not aware." See, most of us, if that were us, man, we'd have a mouthful of words, wouldn't we? Right? We of all kinds of words of judgment and anger and hatred to shout out to those who are torturing us. Right? I mean, we get cut off on the highway by someone and we like tell them they're number one. What makes you think that in the midst of being tortured, you're going to be praying prayers of blessing over people? Right, but see, Jesus was different. See, instead of judging them and spewing hatred and anger towards them, he saw them differently. He had some sort of understanding of what was really going on here. And as a result, he had this heart that was filled with compassion and was filled with this love that the people who were torturing him and killing him did not even want. So how is he able to do that? I mean, because you can look at that and you can say, well, you know, that's because it was Jesus. Jesus, you know? It was Jesus. That's how, well, okay, that's fine. If you're looking for some kind of cop-out or excuse as to why you could never become that compassionate or that loving, then just make Jesus purely divine, forget his humanity. But see, one of the things we know as Christians is that Jesus was both, wasn't he? Jesus was divine, but he was also human. And so what you begin to understand when you look at the life of Jesus was what we see here is this beautiful picture of what it looks like when human beings live in the fullness of who God created them to be. It was a beautiful picture of wholeness. That's one of our values, is wholeness. See, when you understand that, because it would be quite the cruel joke, wouldn't it be, for Jesus to do all these things and to be like, and I really want you to do these as well, but you really can't. See, when you understand that, what you realize is it wasn't just because it was Jesus. No, listen, you got to look a little bit further. You got to look at a larger scope here. Because what will happen is when you back up and you start to look at his life, you begin to realize that there were some things he did that positioned him for those moments. There were things that he did that enabled him to be more of an observer in that moment than a judge in that moment. There were things he did. You know what that was? Jesus constantly broke away and listened. Listen, Jesus, he would be with the crowds, then he would leave and he would go and he would get away in silence, in solitude, and he would listen to the voice of his Father. And so, you know, it seems to me that at the end of the day, you know, if we want to do better with our words, if we want to do better with our talking, well, it seems to me that we have to first learn how to be better listeners. I don't know how many of you have read, a long time ago, Stephen Covey came out with this book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Did any of you read that book? It's a fantastic book, wasn't it? I mean, still is. Great book. But he had this one phrase in there that I'll never forget. It stuck with me more than anything else in that book. But it was this right here. I'll put it on the screens for you. Very simple statement. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Say it with me. Ready? Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Just think about that. I think this is what listening well looks like right here. I didn't say it's easy, but I think this is what it looks like, right? Listening with the intent to understand. Listening with the intent to understand the other person's perspective. Listening with the intent to understand the other person's way of seeing things, right? Listening with the intent to understand their story. What's happened in their lives? Why are they feeling what they're feeling? Why are they doing what they're doing? See, we all have our positions in life, don't we? And we have this tendency to listen from those positions, don't we? It took me a long time to get to a place where I could finally understand that I cannot compare myself with anyone. I can't look at people and go, "Why, man, I certainly wouldn't do that." Well, sure I would. If I were them and I had their experience of life and I knew what they knew and I was where they're at and their consciousness and their way of living, of course I would do exactly the same thing. But I'm not them. They're different than I am. Right? See, truly listening to someone, I think, means putting your agenda on hold. Right? And say, okay, you know what? I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to be still just like I would before God. I'm just going to sit, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to listen with the intent to truly understand the other person. Let me tell you something. If there's a group of people that you really struggle to love and you find yourself being kind of judgmental towards a certain type of person, certain group of people, befriend one. Get to know them. Get to know their story. I promise you it'll start to change, and what will happen is you'll begin to see beyond the labels that you've placed on them or that others have placed on them, and you'll begin to see their humanity, and you'll begin to see the divine imprint that God has placed within them. And ultimately, you know what you see is you begin to see yourself. Listen, I think a lot of Christians, and if you are one, I'm sorry to say this. I'm just kidding. I think a lot of Christians need help with this one, though. I mean, seriously, look, too many of us, we get so defensive. Oh, man, we get so and we get defensive, and we react out of that place instead of responding out of a place of compassion and understanding. Right? Because what happens? We feel threatened, right? We feel threatened by another person's ideas or opinions that might be different than mine. When in reality, what we're doing is we are shrinking the Holy Spirit down to something like this big and putting the Holy Spirit in our pocket thinking we have the Spirit figured out. And so we feel like in the moment, like we're God's some sort of like miracle servant who's been sent to them in that conversation to show them how wrong they are. And so we don't even listen. See, here's what we got to remember. Understanding someone, it's not the same thing as agreeing with someone. Do you understand that? Big difference. Understanding someone is not the same thing as agreeing with someone or even supporting or approving of them or whatever they're doing. Right? Listen, you can respect and listen well to someone without necessarily agreeing with them. Can I get one amen here today? Just one? Okay, thank you. What, is this a Methodist church now or what? Nothing against Methodists. I mean, they're probably a little more alive than this one today. Oh, they go to the coffee bar. All right. So, listen, I know. Look, I had horrible insomnia last night. Horrible. I was eating a banana at 2:30 in the morning, and organic, by the way, and I watched the clock at 3 o'clock, or when it was 2 o'clock, you know. I always wondered, does it change like right on the nose, or does it take a little bit of time? And I had my phone, and I was looking up at the TV, the satellite thing, and I had my iPad, and I was like, okay, I am totally watching this. And boom, it changed just like that. Right at 2 o'clock, it turned to 3. It was amazing. Anyway, that's has nothing to do with what I'm saying today, but it's your fault. I didn't even remember what I was saying. I had to go back and look now. Oh, yeah, you can respect and you can listen well, okay, without necessarily agreeing with someone. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I've had to learn to do that really well. Right? I think I make a great poker player. I mean, for real, listen, I meet with people all the time who tell me things that like the average person, if they heard what some of these people are saying, you'd be like, oh, God, woo, dear Lord, right? So, but you know, I've learned, I don't agree with everything everybody tells me, right? But you know what? That's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that I'm taking the time to listen to them and to understand who they are and where they're coming from. I'll tell you, most people, that's all they're looking for is they just want to be understood. So I may not affirm their ideas, but I can affirm them as human beings. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. All right, now, here's what I want to do. If you have a pen, I want you to take it out, or you can, if you have a camera on your phone or whatever, you can just take pictures of this. But I want to give you some real practical ways that you and I can become better listeners. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on these because, I'm just not. But I think this is where it starts. Like, if we want to do, if we want to repurpose the words that we're using, and we want to repurpose how we speak to others, I think it begins here with how we're listening. And so let me give you some real practical ways that we can listen better, okay? Here's the first one, all right? This is really important. Listen beyond the words. Now, we all know that hearing and listening are not necessarily the same thing, right? My wife, she'll say, like, were you listening to me? No, I mean, I heard you at some level. I heard you, there was something coming out of the upper region of your head and of your body, and you're saying something, but I wasn't really listening. Big difference, friends, right? So like this first one, listen beyond words, it means that if we're truly going to listen well, we got to go beyond just the words that are being spoken. We got to pay attention to things like body language, right? We got to pay attention to things like, emotions. I mean, if your wife's telling you everything's okay, but she looked like she wants to murder you, that there may be something she's not telling you. Pay attention. Right? It means listening with your whole body, right? It means not only paying attention to what's going on, but listening not just with your ears, but listening with your eyes, listening with your heart, with your mind. If you're married, you know something about this. Here's the next one. The second thing is this, very simple. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Right? Now, I almost said, like, stop talking, but I think being quiet is much more than that. Because you can stop talking, your mind's still going 100 different directions, right? But this is important. I think, like, just be quiet. Did you know that the word listen and the word silent all have the same letters in them? Yeah, you can Facebook that later, and you'll look like a genius for knowing that. But a lot of us hate being quiet. We're so uncomfortable by it. We don't like silence. Let's try it. We better not do this too much longer. Some of you are going to fall asleep. You know, after a few seconds, like, people start, what do I do? There's no sound. It's so uncomfortable. We don't like it. For years, I've hated silence. Some of you might remember I talked when we went to Thailand. On my sabbatical for 6 weeks, was the first time I really realized that I had no idea how to truly be present. And what I realized was I hated being silent, because when I would get quiet, when I would stop talking, when I would get quiet, I started seeing my pain. And man, I didn't like that. I didn't like what I was seeing in those moments. I was afraid of my pain. So I've been on this journey of learning how to be silent, learning how to be present, learning how to, well, you know, one of the things, in fact, this past year, I've started almost daily this rhythm of just meditation, silent meditation, sitting for 20 minutes. It's like a daily routine and failure for me. But once in a while, I do pretty well, but most of the time I don't. But just 20 minutes of just being completely quiet. And I got to tell you, it's hard, man. It's hard. Like, I'm ADD for real. I mean, I've like been diagnosed, okay? And like there's like pills that I could take, you know, that will help me. Listen, it's hard for me, but it's been one of the hardest things. But listen, it's also been one of the most amazing gifts that I've ever given myself. It's one of the most amazing gifts I've ever given my children. Because you know what's happening? For the first time in my life, I'm learning how to just sit and to be present with my children without thinking that I've got to go run somewhere and go do something and be. I could just sit. I'm learning. My wife, it's so hard for me. But I'm learning. I'm learning how to be present to this community. It's hard, man, but it's one of the it is one of the most powerful and helpful things I've ever done, learning to just be quiet. That's why in our gatherings, I just think we need probably more times of silence in our gatherings. Of just sitting quietly before God. You know, I know we like more of the vibrant stuff, but sometimes we just need those times of just quiet. Because most of you aren't getting it during the week. And so to at least get it here once in a while would be more than you're getting right now. Here's the next one. This I don't know, maybe this should have been the first one on the list. I don't know. But listening well, I think, means that I suspend judgment. Suspend judgment. Oh, man, this is important. You know, that I work off the assumption that, hey, you know what? There might be more to this story than what I currently know. Listen, this is so important when it comes to our conversations with people, of going into the conversation and going, you know what? I am going to suspend judgment in this conversation, and I'm going to have an open heart and truly listen. But let me tell you where else this is huge, all right? This is also important when it comes to the conversations that you're having internally with yourself. Some of you are so judgmental towards yourself. You are so harsh towards yourself. Some of you, you are harder on yourself than you are on any other human being on this planet. And you beat yourself up. And you throw shame on yourself. You throw guilt on yourself and condemnation on yourself. Stop. You don't need to. Be kind to yourself. Learn to love yourself. So some of you treat yourself in ways you wouldn't even treat an animal. Refuse to allow shame and condemnation and guilt to pile on and learn. This is a big one, man. Just suspend judgment. You don't have to judge yourself. You don't have to. It's one thing to look at your life and find areas you need to improve or whatever. But and that's work in and of itself. For you to add shame and guilt on top of that, all you're doing is making it much harder for you. It paralyzes you. That's a big one. Here's another one. Listening well, I think, means that we ought to be curious. I mean, we need to be curious. Like in conversations, have a curiosity, you know? Ask good questions. One time this conversation I was having, and I meet some really interesting people, and I really get, like, I love good conversations that pull me outside of my comfort zone. But there's a, not long ago, there was a lady, she was telling me about her experience of reincarnation. And see, a lot of Christians, like, if they had a conversation like that, a lot of Christians would be like, they would say, someone might say, well, you know, reincarnation, and you know, a lot of Christians would be like, oh, hey, oh, right? And they just, again, like, learn to just trust the Spirit, friends. Like, the Spirit of God is much greater and moves in ways beyond what any of us can fathom, okay? But I remember this lady was telling me, she's telling me about reincarnation, and I sat, I'm listening, and I looked at her, and I said, wow, that's intriguing. Like, tell me about that. Like, why, what, tell me more. And she was like, all right, I will. And man, and like, it opened up the door for us to have like the most amazing spiritual conversation. Man, you guys, I don't know if you remember me talking, I was at this dinner a while back, this like a community dinner thing, and there was a guy sitting across from me. He was a physicist and an atheist. And he was really angry. You know, and he was sitting there, and he was like, well, let me tell you, I think the Bible is just a bunch of BS and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and then he's like, so what do you do for a living? Oh, Jesus. I'm like, well, I'm a motivational speaker. But you know what I said? I said, you know what? I know the Bible is a tough book. It is. It's a tough book. Like, I wrestle with a lot of the Bible. I get that. You know what? He looks at me, he's like, man, I never heard a pastor say that before, a father, reverend, or whatever he called me. You know, I've never heard someone say that before. But man, it opened the door for us to have this conversation, and he was like, man, maybe I'll even come to your church. So I don't know, maybe you're here today, and, you know, sorry for calling you angry, but you were kind of. Anyway, but be interested, all right? Engage the story. Here's a great question to ask yourself, all right? If you could write this on the inside of your eyelids, this would be great for you to do so. Here it is. Go ahead and put that up, all right? Am I listening for what will confirm what I already think? Or am I listening in order to discover something new? Whew. That's a spanking right there for all of us. Am I listening for what will confirm what I already think? Or am I listening in order to discover something new? Man, imagine going into every conversation, like taking your notebook or your journal, whatever you might take into conversations with people, writing that in there. Am I listening for to confirm what I already think or believe? Or am I listening in order to discover something new? All right, be curious. All right, here's the next one. You want to listen better? Stay engaged. Say it with me. Ready? Stay engaged. Now, I almost hesitate to even give examples here because I feel like at some level it feels almost insulting because it's so elementary. But then, like, I've actually had some conversations with some of you that tell me that I actually do need to say these things, okay? There's this really valuable tool and skill called eye contact that is really helpful in conversations with people. All right, so eye contact's a great way. Stay engaged. Look at them. Here's another one. Like, nod. It's okay to nod your head once in a while when you're in conversations with someone. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they just sit there and stare at you? I told one guy one time, I said, you know what? Every time I have a conversation with you, you look like you're going to murder me. What? You got to stop that because it's not nice, man. Stop staring at me. Can you like nod a little bit or like, because you know what, by staring at me, what you're doing is you're making me feel like I'm on a freaking deserted island by myself holding up a big sign that says like, hey, I'm Scott Hodge and I'm a complete moron. You know what I'm talking about? God, don't make me think I'm crazy. Most people just don't even know. Self-awareness, man, is huge. Eye contact, head nods. Like, you can nod and say, like, yeah, I'm listening. It's not, like, one guy, I said, why do you never, like, go like this when we're talking? Like, you just stare at me. Why? He said, well, because I don't know if I, like, sometimes you'll say something and I don't totally agree with it. I said, you think that by shaking your head, you're saying you agree with it? What's the matter with you? Oh, no, there's a big difference. You're saying, I hear you. I'm with you. Sorry. So, you know, staying engaged is important, all right? Because, like, it's way too easy to get distracted, man. It is, and miss what the other person's saying to you. Listen, there's nothing worse than when you have to have then another meeting, You know what I mean? I mean, why not say, be willing sometimes to say to someone, hey, I really want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So I'm gonna let me paraphrase what you said. Right? And that's actually this next one. Go ahead and put that next one up, right? This last one is summarizing. Being willing to summarize the conversation. All right? Listen, repeating back and saying, look, I it's important to me that I hear you. I try to do that with our staff, especially because we don't all have time to have more meetings all the time, right? Because I wasn't listening or they weren't listening. So it's like, listen, let me repeat back to you and make sure I understand what you're saying. There's times I do that and I totally missed it, right? And so just being willing to take it 3 more minutes, 5 more minutes, right? And say, hey, let me just clarify this, right? I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. People really appreciate that. People really respect that. Sometimes when I'm having sort of important conversations with people, I'll even say to them, hey, listen, I want to make sure you really understood what I'm saying because this could be misheard, I maybe didn't say it real well. So would you say back to me what you heard me say? I really want to make sure I said it well. All right? Listen, listening well means learning how to be quiet. Oh, well, learns how to listen beyond the words, to be quiet, to suspend judgment, to be curious, to stay engaged. And I think even on a real practical level, to just summarize. And I'll tell you what, when you listen well to someone, you are giving them one of the greatest gifts you could ever give them. You're giving them space. Space to just be. Just be. And I'll tell you what, man, when you do that, when you listen well internally, you're giving yourself the same thing. Space to just be. And to allow God to love you exactly as you are right now. Some of you, you need to open your heart and let God love you. You need to accept God's acceptance of you. And you need to understand that God loves you just as you are, not as you should be. And there is nothing you can do to get God to stop loving you. I don't care what your former church taught you. I don't care what your parents taught you. There is nothing you can do to get God to stop loving you. There is nothing you can do to get God to love you more. So the more you go to church, you're not racking up points with God. You understand that? God loves you just as you are. There's so much I could say, and I've already gone too long, but ultimately, I think the reason why paying attention to our words is so important goes back to something Jesus once said, and this is a butt-kicking scripture. Like, if you were going to do your own personal version of the Bible, you'd probably want to leave this one out, okay? It goes like this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So I just turn this now to you. To me personally, how about you? If you were to look at the words that have been flying out of your mouth, or you were to look at the words that have been floating around in your noggin as of late, what would those words say about the condition of your heart lately? I mean, are the words that are coming out your mouth, the words that are coming into your mind that you're dwelling on, are they words that are bringing life and blessing, or are they words that are bringing death and cursing? I don't know, maybe a better way to ask that question is this. How intentional are you about using your words to bring life and blessing into the lives of other people? Even internally to yourself. Here's some words that bring life, some phrases. Here's one, I love you. When's the last time you told the person that you assume they know that you love them? How about I forgive you? Some of you need to tell yourself that. I forgive you. I'm sorry. You know how hard it is for some people to say, I'm sorry? They'll say, I'm sorry, but then they'll follow it up with, I'm sorry, but it's just that if you wouldn't have, or I'm sorry that you felt that way. That's not an apology. That's BS, okay? That is not an apology. That is crap, okay? Just say, I'm sorry. That's it. Leave it there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Didn't matter if you meant to. If they felt like you hurt them, you hurt them. Just say, I'm sorry. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And my dad used to say that to me. He hit me on the leg. Scott, proud of you. Some of you, you didn't have a dad that said that to you. I was telling the guys last night, like, I actually felt guilty saying that last night in the service, because I immediately thought about all the people who I know that didn't have that. But I think what I would say to you is, at some point, you've got to be willing to get out of that place, and you've got to be willing to find someone around you, and you need to break that cycle. And you need to tell your children, you need to tell someone, a friend, whoever it is, you need to tell someone else, I believe in you, I'm proud of you. Thank you. That's a big one. You know people who can't even say thank you? You do something for them, they can't say thank you. Some of you really have a hard time saying thank you. If you look beneath that, you'll probably find that there's some pride or there's something that you need to let God kind of break. My guess is that people who have a hard time saying thank you are the same people that have a hard time letting God love them and letting God pour his grace out on them, because there's no strings attached with that. And that's hard, man. Pride does not like that. Ego does not like. Ego wants to feel like it deserves. It's earned. Listen, imagine for a second, you guys, how becoming a better listener, we all know, like, it impact our marriages. I'm telling you, this is real stuff, guys. It'll impact your friendships. It'll impact your workplace, the people that you're leading. But then even beyond that, okay, so imagine how collectively, okay, a group of us, just let's just say even the number of people who are just in this room right now, imagine how a group of us could positively impact a neighborhood and then ultimately a city simply by being people who, instead of being quick to speak and judge and label and divide, instead we find ways to be present and to listen and to learn and to understand the lives and the stories of those around us. And I'll tell you what, that is a beautiful picture. If that's the kind of tribe, community, whatever you want to call it, that you want to be a part of, listen, that's a picture of a community who doesn't just talk about values like goodness and beauty and grace and renewal. That is a picture of a community that actually embraces and lives those values in a way that brings goodness and beauty to everyone around them. In Orchard, I believe we can do that. I believe we can be that kind of community. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. I believe it. And so would you stand with me? Before you go, what I want to do is I want to teach you of this very simple prayer. I had my great-grandmother, her name was Audie. Not like the car. Her name was Audie, and she's the one that would always say, you know, praise the Lord anyhow. She's like, oh, the Great Depression. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Right? Oh, I broke my wrist. Praise the Lord anyhow. Always. Praise the Lord anyhow. She was a white lady, but she had a black lady living on the inside of her. But anyway, so she taught my dad a prayer, and she didn't invent the prayer because it's from the Bible. She wasn't that old, okay? She was born in 1898, though. That was really cool. But anyway, so she taught my dad this prayer, and then my dad, he taught that prayer to us as kids. And then to the church. So like every Sunday he would pray this prayer to the point that I got really sick and tired of it. Whenever he'd be like, oh, let's just pray Psalm 19:14. And like, oh brother, you know. But now like I pray this prayer every day. And I'm teaching it to my kids, and they're probably getting agitated as well at this point. But anyway, the prayer goes like this. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Would you lift your voices right now and read this and pray this with me? Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Some of you need to just write it down or take a picture of it and have that and keep that in front of you. Because here's what I love about it. Let the words of my mouth, the words that come out of my mouth, and let the meditation of my heart, what's going on in here, right, and what I'm meditating on and thinking about, be acceptable. I think the acceptable word's not the best one here. I think the actual word would be, to help us understand this, would be aligned. Like, may my words and what I'm meditating on align with you, God, my strength and my Redeemer. So one more time, let's pray it. Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us with this before we leave. God, thank you so much for your word and for challenging us well about our words and about our listening. God, I just pray a very simple prayer today. Jesus, may we cherish your words in our hearts. May we be slow to speak and quick to listen. Slow to condemn and quick to help. May all we are and all we do honor And one last time, look at the screen. Let's pray these words again. As soon as they put it back up. There we go. Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And we pray that, and we ask these words that they would become a reality in our lives. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.